salvation, and all your people sing along. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, oh God. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. And your grace is enough, ever reaching down to us. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. I am covered by your blood. Your grace is enough for me. For me.
We'd like to welcome all of our guests here tonight to Calvary Gospel Church. This is our Bible study night, Wednesday night. And if you're here for the first time, either online or with us in person, we have a connection card that we'd like for you to receive from one of our ushers. You can also get one of those in the kiosk in the back, or you can go to the bit.ly link online. It says bit.ly/CGC guests. We'd like to get in connection with you and possibly invite you to a Bible study or anything like that. We'll see what we can do for you, maybe pray for you wherever you're at, whatever situations you might have in your life. It's this is a good church to be a part of. Amen. Amen. This Friday, we want to announce it's all church prayer. Woohoo! 7 p.m. And so that'll be happening this Friday night. And so if you could come. It only lasts about an hour or so. So we'll see you Friday at 7 p.m. Come expecting a move of God and to get closer to the Lord. And it's just a great time to be in fellowship and corporate prayer with the saints. I have a very special announcement concerning the Fall Semester Purpose Institute. Our Madison Campus Purpose Institute Fall Semester begins at 7 p.m. Friday, August 20th, and Saturday, the 21st, from 8 to 4. Our semester includes classes once a month on the third weekend, August through November. Take one class, or you can take all four. You can dig in and study these classes with us. The first class is Pastoral Studies. Second class is the Tabernacle Plan. The third class is Ministry of the Apostles 2, and the fourth class is the Oneness of God. You can register online at www.purposeinstitute.com or see John Rivest in the back for more information. I was told to read that verbatim, and I did verbatim. So, also, coming up is Youth Week. It starts next week. Woo! We are excited to hear from our seniors next Wednesday and Section 3 Youth Rep Jordan Herman on Sunday the 15th, all right? So be expecting to have a move of God amongst our youth. Saturday, August 28th is our Back to School Bash. It'll be a free drive-through school supply giveaway. Support the community by purchasing some school supplies for those in need. You can drop the supplies off in the collection barrels in the lobby. And at this time, we have a Move the Mission special promotional video.
Call to move the mission.
It's got to move you. It's got to somehow get down into the emotions of your mind. It's got to reach your heart until it will cause you to weep for the souls of men.
And then I'd like to say to you tonight that we have the Word of God on which we can stand to move this world.
You need to get your mind on the things that God wants us to have, and that's to be renewed so that we can have a worldwide vision and realize the purpose of our existing is to get the whole gospel to the whole world.
The need is to move the mission.
I will cross any river. I will climb any mountain. I will pay any price. I will bear any burden. Give me the hard road.
What we need are people that can move.
Who will go?
I'm here to talk to you guys about Sheaves for Christ, but now formerly known as Move the Mission, as you can see. In the video, we were showed a list of ministries that Move the Mission help fund. One of these ministries is Apostolic Youth Corps, or better known as AYC. In the beginning of June, I had the amazing opportunity to go on my first AYC trip to Los Angeles, California. I was super excited when I got accepted to go, but let me tell you, there was a very, very long process that had to take place before I even considered going. I remember when God had given me a burden to go on an AYC trip, but I also knew that I was going to have a hard time when it came to paying for my trip. At the time, I was working a job that wasn't paying me enough, but luckily, God provided me with a better job. So I quickly applied, and the next morning, they wanted to hire me. I was so excited when I got hired because this job paid me almost double what I was originally making. And I knew it was going to help me pay for my AYC trip. Yeah, see, that's what I thought was going to happen, but that's not what God had planned. 2 months into working at my new job, I ended up getting COVID. Before I got COVID, I made a very detailed plan on how many hours I had to work per week in order to save up enough money and time for my AYC trip. I was super confused on what God was trying to tell me during this time. I kept telling God how worried I was and how frustrated I was because there was just no way I was going to be able to pay for my AYC trip on time. But I also knew that my circumstances were way smaller than what God is able to do. So I said, all right, God, if you allowed me to get accepted to go on this trip, then I know you can make a way for me to pay for this trip too. So I set all my feelings aside and replaced them with faith. A couple weeks pass, and it's getting closer to when it's time to pay for my first AYC payment, and I was nowhere near having enough. Then one Saturday afternoon, my sister texts me and says, Wisconsin Youth is giving out scholarships to people who will write an essay on why they feel they should go on an AYC trip. My sister's like, Dara, you have to do this. And I was like, how much time do I have, though? Turns out I only had 1 day before the deadline. Kinda. But I knew that I could not miss this opportunity of possibly winning a scholarship. So I quickly typed up an essay, prayed over what I had wrote, and hoped that whoever read it would see the burden I had to go on this trip. A whole month passes, and I'm starting to get pretty worried. At this point, I was just full-on upset with God. I was wondering why on earth he had allowed me to get accepted for a trip I couldn't even afford. But that same day, I complained and whined was the same day I got an email from our state's youth president, Brother David Meyer, saying in big capital letters, "Congratulations, you've won the scholarship." I instantly felt like a brat, though. I also quickly asked God to forgive me for how impatient I was. But what's even more amazing about me winning that scholarship is that the amount I had won was the exact amount I was working towards to save. God knew from the start how everything was going to work out. All I needed to do was trust him. And that sounds very cliche because we say it all the time, but it's so true. I say all this to say that I would not have gotten my AYC scholarship if people like you would not have given to move the mission. It's people like you who give even as little as $10 to move the mission that help restore faith into young people like me. Your donations and sacrifices help support the callings and burdens God has placed on so many young people's lives like my own. Right now, we as a church are trying to raise $16,000 for Move the Mission. The final offering date is August 29th. So if you feel the burden to give even $10, do it. Don't hesitate. Be a part of helping ministries move the mission. You can give online, through text, or you can put money in the box in the vestibule out there. Thank you for listening to what I had to say about Move the Mission and how it has impacted my life. I hope you all are encouraged to give to Move the Mission. And if you were, I'm excited for you to see the impact you'll be having on multiple ministries. God bless you guys.
Let's all stand. Everyone, if you have your cell phone, can you just get that out real fast? Wave that in the air. I don't know how many people here are giving online with their cell phone or by text message, but if you have that, we haven't taken an offering yet tonight, but we're asking everyone, if you feel it, feel the passion and the burden of Move the Mission, and you can see how it's affected our own church, would you be willing to give by text to Move the Mission? That would be, I think SFC would be how we still have it, or is it FFC? That means She's for Christ, but it's the same. And so if you wouldn't mind just texting to give an offering to Move the Mission or FFC tonight, that would be awesome. You can also give your regular tithes and offerings in the same way, or you can send those in or drop them in the box as you normally would. And thank you for doing that, being faithful givers to the kingdom of God. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer right now. If you have any special needs, I don't think anybody's turned anything in to me tonight, but if you have any special needs, can you just lift your hands to the Lord right now and let's just believe in faith that God is going to supply every need, just like our sisters told us here this tonight that God supplied her need, even though he knows what you need, even though before you ever ask, before you even think about it, he knows what you need. So let's just pray to God right now. Lord Jesus, we ask you, Lord God, that you would bless this congregation, bless the giving, God. Bless, Move the Mission, Lord God. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, you bless our youth, Lord, as they enter into Youth Week, Lord God, that you would have a mighty revival planned for them already in your thoughts and in your thinking, God, that we could just fulfill the will of God, Lord, when we come to church and we worship you, God, and our youth put themselves forward to worship you, God. We ask you, Lord Jesus, you'll bless the upcoming services and all that is with that, God. You bless this offering. You bless our bless this service tonight, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. Because I know there is peace within your presence. till every dark addiction starts to break. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom, I seek Jesus. Over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. 'Cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name.
Yeah. Praise the Lord, church. I just feel a powerful wave of the Holy Ghost in this place tonight. It's so good to see my niece Cecily back visiting with us. Also, Derry did a great job. I believe Sister Arlene Martinez is leaving us here in another week or so. Is that correct? Going out to California to Bible school, to CLC. So make sure you shake her hand and wish her well. And I want to thank Brother Jerry Simmons and Brother Seidel, John Seidel, and also Brother Fabian Martinez for doing a great job on our Summer Fun Fest. We had a great time. And all of those that helped with setup and clean up, and you know who you are, and thank you so, so very, very much. We're going to continue this evening. We're going to read one short passage, and then you can be seated. We're very familiar with this passage from Luke chapter 11. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." You can be seated this evening. We're talking about knowing God's voice in a series on Lord, Teach Us. I believe firmly that the day that we live in today, that it is extremely critical for the survival of a Christian to be able to not only hear, but recognize and understand and follow the voice of God in their life. Now is not a time to start selling God out, start selling your family or yourself short. Now is a time where we need to dig in like we've never dug in, because things are fixing to change and change very rapidly. We're seeing it. We're seeing it happen. I want to address some of these things coming up. We're going to take a little break from the series. We have Sunday morning. We have Brother Caskey is going to be speaking in our second session on Sunday, so I'm excited about that. And, we can go ahead. And I appreciate our elders. And we're excited. I have to say that the most precious times that I have with God is when we are communicating via the Holy Spirit, which is the infilling of the Holy Spirit in all of our lives. We've talked about this, that the Holy Spirit is not just for salvation and salvation only. It's a comforter. It's our source of wisdom. It's a source of strength. I love reading the passages of Scripture as the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. Things begin to happen. It's that same Spirit, folks. The Holy Spirit that you and I have through our salvation, speaking in tongues, is the Spirit of God that said, "Let there be light." Do you believe that? Because you don't. The same Spirit that resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead is the same Spirit that is going to take you and me out of here. It's the same Spirit. And the most precious times that I have with God is when my Holy Spirit that is within me, God's Spirit within me as a gift. It's a gift from God. It's not earned. We don't have to pay for it. It's not something you go to school for, you read and PI, or you get a certificate. It's a free gift from God. But it is when the Holy Spirit, the gift of God that He has given to me, it is one of my most precious possessions. And when that Holy Spirit communicates with my human spirit. We're all made, we talked about this at the very beginning of the year, and all this ties in. We're all made out of mind, body, and soul. Spirit. I often refer to my human spirit, myself, as an internal guidepost. It's my internal GPS. It needs to be your internal GPS, church. With all the decisions and all of the things that are coming down that we have to make, we better have our human spirit connected to the Holy Spirit. Get it connected. That is the most important connection you will have from here on out. Have you ever had those times when you just knew that deep down inside that God was talking to you? You ever have that? Most of us, we could probably say yes, but then there's moments of doubt. I'm very careful in my life and listening for the voice of God, because I understand and realize this, and I understand and realize it very well, that His voice is not the only voice that desires to speak into my life. You see, I don't want to be misled by my own imaginations. I don't want to be misled by anyone's fool or the enemy's temptations. I don't want to be misled by any accusations or any deceit. Neither do I want to be led astray by my own human ignorance or my own stupidity at times, or perhaps even misguided, prideful spirituality. You see, following the guidelines that we find in Hebrews 4:12, I need to quiet my mind. Listen to me. This is probably one of the most important messages that I will preach, because this has so many things that we need to get a hold of. I quiet my mind. I have to quiet my mind to allow the Word of God to divide between the soul and the spirit. As I listen, I try to discern whether I'm hearing or what I hear emulates or emanates from my soul, my mind, or from the deep inner spirit where the Holy Spirit dwells within me as an individual. You see, the soul is the inner part of me. Then there's my own mind or myself and the soul. And when you look at Hebrews 4:12, the soul is an organ for intellect, for will, and for emotions. But the human spirit, that is the center of my worship and my communication with my God. And as we mature spiritually, which is something we should all be in a process of, our increasing spiritual experience and discernment must allow us to distinguish between soul and spirit. The ability to distinguish between is critical because God indwells and God desires to speak into our human spirit. Follow me tonight, church. While self and Satan generally seek to speak into our minds, thus accessing our souls, when we discern where that internal voice is coming from, we know and we can be assured that we are hearing God speaking in our lives. I know the scripture says, and we've mentioned this in past, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. It also says that as a man, his heart is exceedingly wicked, and who can know it? But we have to understand, when properly cultivated, and I say properly cultivated, when we base our cultivation on spiritual principle, we're gardening our hearts according to biblical principle. Our human spirit is the most dependable and it's most useful. It's probably the most dependable, useful tool that we will ever have when it comes to hearing God's voice in our lives. And we have to take care of it. We have to cultivate it, Brother Mill. We have to provide an atmosphere inside of us where it can speak and flow freely. This is why it's so important that if we have problems with one another, we've covered some of these things. If we have aught against our brother, it says the Lord, he's not even going to hear our prayer. That's why it's critical. It's so critical. God speaks to us in Scripture. And we speak to Him in prayer. This is described as praying in the mind, praying in the Spirit. We have a prayer meeting coming up on Friday night, and I'm going to encourage us to come prepared Friday night to spend time praying in the Spirit. And I'm going to lay this out as to why it is important. Every night, I have bad days, like everybody else has bad days. Every night, my wife can attest to this. I go to bed, and then I get back up, and I leave the confines of our bedroom, and I go outside most often, and I find that place where I can be complete. I want to give God complete access to my mind, to my heart, to my soul, and to my spirit. Last night, I couldn't sleep. This morning, I couldn't sleep. It was past midnight, and it was early hours of the morning, and I'm outside. And I'm trying to have communication with God. You see, I want God to have complete access. If I give Him access to my mind, I give him access to my spirit. He can speak into my soul. So the Holy Spirit, as I sit sometimes and listen, begins to speak into the most innermost part of me. God desires, I'm nobody special. God desires to be able to speak to all of his children intimately. If you can't hear from God intimately, then you are doing something wrong and you need to listen tonight. We speak back. The Holy Spirit speaks, hear me. The Holy Spirit speaks into our innermost human spirit, and we speak back from our innermost human spirit to the Holy Spirit. Thus, we have communication in the spirit realm that the enemy simply cannot understand. It's like in World War II. Early in the war, we broke the Japanese military code. And we had to take some brutal beatings in order for them not to find out that we knew exactly what they were doing. It took a while, but we eventually broke the German Enigma machine. And there were people, brilliant minds, every day deciphering code from the Enigma machines because it changed every day. But one code that was never broken was the U.S. code. And it's because of a group of Native American Navajo warriors. And they knew Navajo spirit talk, if I could put it that way. And no one was ever able to break the code because it was a language that they and only they understood and knew. And our Holy Spirit language is a language that only God knows. And as he speaks into our spirit talks back because it is of him. We are of him. It is his spirit that lives inside of me. And the spirit inside of me, when God breathed into humanity the breath of life, he breathed through his nostrils and man became a living soul. And that soul, that spirit, desires to communicate with its maker. So Paul, this is why Paul says it's so crucial that we pray in the Spirit. And please listen. This is so critical because there are so many voices speaking today. Whenever I sense that a word that may be a word from God, sometimes I have to run it through internal filters. People can say, well, God told me. Are you certain the words come from God? If they can't give, or if you can't give me a definitive answer, then very seldom will I go any further with the message that they're delivering, because you see, I can't afford to make a mistake. Especially this late in the game, to follow after a wrong voice in my life. Now, there's another critical, extremely critical component to onto all of this on how we hear God's voice in our lives. And this is probably the most critical component of everything I've talked about. I'm going to read from 1 Kings in the New King James Version, 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 through 18. So follow me here. Or, I'm sorry, 11 through 12. Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice." So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. We read in Psalms chapter 46:10, a very critical piece of scripture as well that ties in with 1 Kings. It says, "Be still, be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." You see, stillness, hear me, church, stillness sets you free from busyness, which can betray your trust in God. And we need to be still with our God because it positions you to see and hear from God. Now, for some reason, we have in our Christian culture today that being still is being lazy. Stillness is not laziness. You got that? We come to a prayer meeting, and if we're not just bellering it out for an hour, we didn't have a prayer meeting. Be still and know that I am God. You know what God, you know what that means by be still and know that I am God? It means shut up and listen. Because I am God, and I've got something to say, and you're going to miss it if you're not still. You see, it's hard because we live in a society that values busyness and suspects anybody that is still. We're made to feel guilty if we're not constantly on the go. I talked to a pastor just last night, different time zone. It's close to midnight, and we're on the phone talking, and talking about how busy and busy and busy and busy and this and this and this and this. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm sitting out here in the quiet stillness wanting to hear the voice of God, and you are busy chatter right now. Not trying to be rude, please don't take that, but we think sometimes because we're busy that God's going to bless us more because we're busy more. We're made to feel guilty if we're not constantly on the go. We stay habitually connected to our computers, and we drink caffeine like there's no tomorrow. However, busyness, it's really not a badge of honor, but it's more a sad, seductive addiction that the enemy of our soul says, if I can't make them bad, I'll make them busy. So the enemy is doing everything he can do to make us as busy as we can be so we miss out on the greatest thing happening around us. You see, overdone busyness is really a lack of focus on God and His provisions that He has for us. However, to be still should be a standard for anyone that's serious about following after Jesus Christ and becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. See, because He says, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke. He says, be still and rest. Be still and reflect. Be still and think. Be still and pray. Be still and pick up your journal and write what I'm telling you. Write it down. Be still and enjoy your family. Be still with no agenda. Be still and you can see things more clearly. Be still and know that He is God. Being still is an investment that pays into eternity. But you see, practicing stillness regularly means that we have to trust God with the big things in our life. We have to trust God in relationship. We have to trust God in the future. Right now, so many of us, we have so many decisions to make concerning our immediate futures. We have to trust God in our finances. We have to trust God in our families. We have to trust God in our jobs. We have to trust God in our health. And stillness means that we have to understand the small things and don't sweat them because you know God is in control. Right, Sister Dara? God is in control. God has got all of this. Stillness also means that you come to understand the small things. Stillness aligns our hearts. Hear me. Stillness aligns our hearts with God. You know why so many Christians can't find the will of God in their life anymore? Because they can't sit still long enough to hear it. Stillness is what aligns our hearts, our minds, our spirit, our soul up with the Almighty God. It's in our expressive stillness. You see, it's the stillness of the night when I go outside and I can look up into the heavens. As I look at the Milky Way and I look at the Big Dipper and I look at the North Star. And occasionally I can see satellites and meteorites. It's in the stillness that I can see the majestic, the majesty of God. It's in the stillness that I begin to feel His grace and His mercy. It's in the stillness that sometimes as tears drip off my cheeks, I can feel the forgiveness. As I begin to communicate and say, God, I want a pure heart. I want a clean heart. I want a holy heart. God, I want to rid myself of all of this frustration. Not like I go around frustrated all day, but you know what I'm talking about. We have seasons in our lives of busyness that sometimes can make stillness seem difficult to find. This is going to sound so absurd, but I'm thankful for last year. You may never understand it, but I'm thankful for last year because in many ways it was a lifesaver for me spiritually, mentally, physically, in so many different ways because I learned last year to be still and know that I am God. I don't know how else I would have learned. I don't know. But we look and we have new babies in the family. So many are moving from one home to another and one apartment to another. All of this involves a significant portion of time and energy. Many of you are business owners, and some of you are starting new businesses and launching into new ministry, and all of this takes time. It's all a very time-consuming affair. However, caution. Caution, caution, caution. Do not use your busyness as an excuse to ignore and shut out God in your life. You know, sometimes I get so tired. I talked to a lady yesterday and we just kind of got talking and found out that she was suffering some of the same health issues I've dealt with in the past. And I said, you know, the biggest thing that I deal with is I'm tired all the time. I get up in the morning, I'm tired. I go to bed, I'm tired. During the day, I'm tired. And I have had to learn to just push through tiredness. But see, so many times at the end of the day, it's so easy to push through tiredness and justify tiredness. There are many nights I've gone to bed and I've laid there and I couldn't sleep. And I'm like, God, I can't sleep because I haven't finished conversation with you. You see, in your stillness, the last, I'm closing tonight so our musicians can come. We have to understand, busyness is not meant to be a habit. It's not meant to be a habitual state that you live in. It's something that you move on. You don't allow busyness to backlog in your life. You pass through busyness on the way to being still. And fill your stillness, understand, with the significance in growing as well as knowing God. There's a powerful, potent perspective in being still and knowing that I am God. That facilitates both faith and trust in God. You want to have more faith in God? You want to trust more in God? Be still. Be still and know that I am God. This is a powerful, potent perspective. It is here. It is here in the stillness that I most often hear God's voice speaking. It's when you can push aside. Dads, I want to challenge you. Moms, I want to challenge you. It's when you can push aside. It's in that stillness. That is when we see God as He truly is God. He is high and He is lifted up and His train fills the temple. The sovereignty of God screams out in the stillness. In the stillness. In the stillness, God grows bigger and bigger and bigger. When we slow down and I'm able to rest in the shadow of the Almighty. If we can stand tonight. You ever wonder if God is really still working in your life? We sing this song. He's still working. Even when we don't see Him working, and we go home and maybe we sing that song under our breath as we drive down the road to work, and we wonder, God, are you really still working as we run about facing a 12, 14-hour day? Scheduled, full all day, but you see, it's in our stillness. It's in our stillness that we are able to see the unseen activity of the Almighty God, and His hand as it is upon our lives, the lives of our children, our wives, our family, our ministry, our business. You see, the Holy Spirit today is melting hearts. In these last days, church, that we're living in, He's authorizing the authorities in our lives. As He authorized authority in our lives, He's bending them, He's bending you, He's bending us. As a palm tree bends in the wind, God is bending humanity. He's bending His church towards Him. In the middle of this seemingly Christless culture, He is drawing all men and women to Himself. You see, church, it's in the stillness. It's in the stillness that shows us what our Jesus Christ is really up to in our lives. His stillness is what shows us the way. It's not in the thunder. Don't chase the thunder. It's not in the lightning. It's not in the earthquake. It's not in the hurricane, the tornado. It's in the still, small voice and stillness. Hear me tonight. Stillness is God's way of working in you. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. And I will be exalted among the nations and in the earth. So tonight, church, God is speaking to us still. He is quiet in His voice. Are we going to accept what we hear tonight? I understand life has to be lived, but we make a choice in how we live it. So Sister Brittany begins to sing. I want to open up this altar area tonight. Knowing God's voice. Come up here tonight and allow your Holy Spirit. Allow Jesus Christ to speak through your Holy Spirit. To your human spirit. Allow Him to speak into you. And directly how God speaks is a direct response in our worship. So we lift our hands to the heavens. we begin to speak quietly.
Here, home.
that church. I trust that this portion of this series, Lord, teach us. We have more to go in the Lord, teach us, but knowing, understanding, and hearing God's voice, I trust this has been a blessing for you and your life. It's part of growing up in God, properly understanding and hearing His voice. It's something that is very critical that we learn. I don't know how much longer. I'd like to say that we're just going to be able to have church right up to the rapture, but I don't know what's going to happen in our world. We're going to address some of these things coming up here. Probably next, I believe. I'm not for sure what I'm on. I know I'm on Sunday morning. I'm not for sure Wednesday night. I have to look at the schedule. But things are rapidly changing. And it's very important. You may not always be able to hear your pastor's voice. You may not be able to tune in. I don't know. But one thing that the enemy can never take from you, one thing he can never tune out, is when God Himself speaks directly to you. So we may lose internet, we may lose Facebook, we may lose all of these venues that we're using to promote the gospel, but we can never, ever, ever, ever lose that voice. Tune in. Listen. It's in the stillness. It's in the stillness. God bless you. Thank you so very much, Sister Brittany and Abby and Brother Dan tonight. The worship was just so powerful. So uplifting. God bless you all. Love you all. We will see you here Friday evening at our prayer meeting. God bless.